We began with the first Sunday of March, this series called Never the Same, and it was based on this idea that there were relationships in our lives that needed to change, to need to never be the same and never be better because Jesus needed to come into it in a new way. And we started the series with this call that Jesus made, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And what we recognize that the easiest and most complete way for Satan to destroy our lives is to destroy our relationships. And we recognize that many of us have loved Jesus for many years and yet have been confused why our relationships have not become the very things that we've heard about in the Word of God. And so we began to seek the Lord, and we invited you, and I heard somebody's alarm go off. I had turned mine off this morning, but at 9:29, based on Mark 9:29, to have an alarm, because it only comes through prayer and fasting that things really change. And we began to look at this issue of we need to expect the power of Jesus to come into our relationships if we really want to experience abundant life. Because after all, and I heard this from several people over the last few weeks, better relationships, better life, Papa God's. That's his promise to us, that it's our relationships as we learn to make them Jesus-centered that really change our lives and give us peace regardless if other people and circumstances change or not. And so we were looking at how our sinful nature tends to operate in relationships in this way we called the drama triangle, the crazy train, where really it's based on the sinful nature's need to worship and focus and exalt self. And so in the end, we tend, when we don't like what's going on, to be this self-centered and feeling like an empty, like I have no power to change, we're the victim. And life becomes all about us. And we've got the choice to choose to play the villain, which is we can shame and persecute people and give them and fight fire with fire in the way we deal with them so maybe they'll finally understand how they've been treating us wrong or what they need to do. And this whole idea that this world loves the concept of a person being the hero instead of Jesus being the Savior, Lord, and Deliverer. And this makes for a great movie, but it makes for a lousy life. Because this inherent in this scenario is drama. And so it's going to entertain you at the theater, but it's not going to help you in your daily life, and it's not going to bring peace. And we spoke of this issue that no relationship works right when we relate to others as a victim, whether we're the victim or whether we think they're the victim. Because in the end, Jesus has come to make us more than conquerors. And if someone doesn't seem to have the power to choose what is healthy and right, our job isn't to be the hero or to be the villain. Our job is help them to discover Jesus, to know Jesus, so that they themselves can become an empowered servant of what's good and right and light. Because Jesus came down to this earth not merely to forgive us of sins, but to show us a different way to love people. And most of us have grown up with the concept that to love someone is to be their hero. And yet Jesus showed a very different model as he called us to serve God's greater purposes in their life. And instead of panicking, and instead of basing our identity or the value of our relationship based on how much I can be the hero in their life, I should learn to call them to be the servant and the follower of Jesus where they can experience victory for themselves and it's not dependent on me. Now, this is something that we've taught over the last few weeks. A big thank you to Pastor Anidra and Pastor Brandon for doing an incredible job teaching us about what the difference is between being the villain and being a challenger in someone's life, and instead of being the hero, how to coach them and lead them into what Jesus has for them. But the truth is, after we learned all of these principles, Did we still fall into the drama triangle the past few weeks? This is confession time in church, so just let it out. Yeah, all the time. All the time we still live down here. Why? It was great that we knew the answer, but the truth is, we're not that good. Our sinful nature and our habits gravitate down here. And sometimes it's because we're tired and we don't care and we're just preoccupied and we want to do whatever we want to do anyway. And sometimes it's because we don't realize what we're saying. Like last week when Hope Ministries canceled second service and put this note on the hallway in our church. There will be no hope during second service. Wow, okay. Sometimes we just don't realize what we're saying or what it sounds like or how it's coming across to other people. Some of us feel like this in our relationships, and we've invited you to pray for 3 to 5 relationships over the Lenten season. And we've invited you to be in a place where you're allowing Jesus to take you from a victim mentality to a more than conqueror mentality. And I want you to hear this truth, because this is the key to why some of us, and probably all of us, have had certain relationships in our lives for over a decade that still live in strife and division. Because we don't realize how weak, how we move down here and we perpetuate, and we're praying prayers and we're quoting scriptures, but we're living like a victim. And I want you to hear this. Jesus will never bless or help you live like a victim, because he died to free you from ever being one. You should say amen louder, okay? Jesus will never bless or help you live like a victim, because he died to free you from ever being one. Amen. All right? That's why this does not work, Christian or otherwise, quoting scriptures or otherwise. Because Jesus is not going to bless any victim mentality in your life, because he died to set you free from that. So he's inviting you to come up and say, hey, come follow me. Take some ownership, right? Come on up, learn to serve. But Jesus, they did this, that. No, you're not a victim. Come on up with me to this place where I want to show you who you are and the good that can happen. And so we learned about this kingdom lifestyle, this Jesus lifestyle of loving people the way Jesus loved them. And we've been looking at stories where Jesus, he didn't turn into the persecutor, he didn't shame them, he didn't treat them like a victim, but he challenged them to follow God and the good things that God wanted. He was the Savior, he is the hero that all hero stories are based on in our world, and yet he would invite the disciples themselves, and the story that both Merv and Pastor Anidra spoke about last week, to come and walk on water. Come and discover the victory that I have for you. And I want you to hear this as parents, as family members, as friends. You do such a great work when instead of rescuing somebody, doesn't mean we can't help, but instead of rescuing them, you coach them into discovering victory for themselves. Because now you didn't just get them a fish, you taught them to fish. Now they understand a little bit more who Jesus is. And like I always say in Spanish, saber lo que hay que hacer no es lo mismo que tener el poder de hacer lo correcto. ¿Sí? ¿Sí? I always say that in Spanish. It's good to know the right thing to do, but it's not the same thing as having the power to do it. It's good to know what Jesus did, but it's not the same thing as having the power of Jesus to do that. And that's why we're coming to Acts chapter 1. Because here, one more story of Jesus with a group of people who are trying to figure out relationships. And in Acts chapter 1, the risen Christ has appeared to the disciples. Truth is known. And now, Jesus, I want you to hear this, Jesus expects a small group of people to change a whole city and world with people who have no intention of changing. Rome still rules. The Pharisees are still lying and murdering and threatening. Crowds are still willing to crucify people. And Jesus says, I want you to change all these people's lives now. Well, we can't do that. It's like you and I looking at the five relationships that maybe have gotten a little better and maybe haven't. I don't think God, any of these people, plan to change, and you're saying I'm supposed to be your witness to them? Well, I want you to hear what Jesus himself says to a group of believers who says, I know nobody else has planned to change, but this is what I'm calling you to. Starting in verse 3, would you just set aside now your heart and your mind and all that you are for the Word of God? The Word of God. These are the words of the risen Christ to a group of disciples. Starting at verse 3. Jesus presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized, very important word, with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, many of us in this room, probably all of us, here and online, we are facing what the disciples faced in some relationships. I don't think anybody's going to change, God. I don't think anybody's going to change. I don't think anybody's going to stop doing evil or stop just thinking about themselves or clinging to power or, Lord, we're facing the same situation. May these same words, living, powerful words from you, O God, now prepare us to see the same glory that they saw. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, the disciples have seen the risen Christ. And Jesus says, I've got a power for you. I've got a gift to help you face relationships where nobody wants to change. And the disciple says, that's great, but when do we win? I've got a power that you can be my witnesses. That's good, Jesus, but when does everybody see that I'm right and I get to be in charge? You're going to be my witnesses. And when am I on top? You see, it's just our nature. We go to that drama triangle. When do I win? When do I get to be the hero? When does all the other people get to? And Jesus says, hey, the way I work out that relationship, that's the Father's choice. What you've got to look at is the power to be my witness in the middle of it. I don't know. I don't know if they're ever going to come back and apologize. I don't know if you're ever going to get to go have ice cream with them because you feel like that again. I don't know if it's all going to work out and everybody's going to discover that you were right. I don't know, but what I need you to do is focus on the power that I've promised you. Because what I really want you to do in these relationships is I want you to be my witnesses. At your home, in your community, the region you live in, the city that's closest to you, probably to the ends of the earth. That's what I want you to focus on. That's what I'm calling you to. Because I've got a power I've promised you, And it's something that I'm giving you, not just in a little bit of a portion, but I want to baptize you with that power. I want you to experience it in every ounce of your being. That word baptism in the Greek, it was what they would refer to when a piece of clothing was dyed a color, they would say it was baptized. It was the idea that it was totally went from one color to another. It was immersed. It was in every fiber. It was changed. It's this idea to be completely immersed. It's this idea, matter of fact, to be overflowing. You're going to hear a lot in the book of Acts and in the New Testament that they talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Eastern concept, and really scientifically, a vessel is never filled till when? It's never filled till it's overflowing. Because until it overflows, there's room for what? More. And Jesus said, I want to not give you some of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just give you a little bit of me. I want to change every fiber of your body, and I want to fill you. I want to immerse you. I want to completely cover you with. I want to do it so much that what overflows out of your mouth and your nonverbals and the way you look at a person, what overflows is me. And so often, you and I rely on our own power, and we want to do the things of Jesus, but we forget to focus on the power of Jesus to do it. Because you see, what Jesus came to do was more than just forgive us of sins, and that's pretty big. He came to fulfill a scripture in the Old Testament that says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I'll give you the power to do what I do, to think the way I think. And here's the most important, to love the way I love. It's not in you to do it, it's in me. But you and I, when we're living in the drama triangle, there are all sorts of lies that we tend to stay focused on. And they're lies that we think like a victim or think like we need to be the hero. And we get in the middle of relationships and we my life's so unfair, poor me. I need someone else to do what's right because no one else is doing right for me. It's not my fault. Someone else should fix it. I need a hero. I need somebody. The reason why it's not working is no one's helping me. If others don't change, I guess I'm stuck. You know what? Let's all stop. I'm the answer. Everybody give me control. All right? These are all lies that all feed the drama triangle. They all feed the sinful nature. They all feed the flesh. And you and I need to discover that there is a power to make all of these lives leaves us. You see, I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of trees near my house, and I got a whole bunch of leaves that are from an old season. They're still hanging around, right? And I've got a few new ones because the springtime kind of finally got a few loose. And, you know, there's way too many of them. But I discovered this wonderful apparatus here and spent a lot of time, even yesterday, over my dad's house, too, doing a lot of this. And what I found out is this just helps me in my own power to move as many of those old things that are still living all around me, all these thoughts and habits and old ways of doing anything, man, and this thing's okay, but I tell you what, there's no way I'm going to get all the leaves that are in my back, all the stuff lying around my life and all the things I keep stepping in, there is no way in my own power that I'm moving all those things. They're going to keep blowing back into my yard, into my life, into my thoughts. That's what's going to happen. Because my power by itself can only move so many of them for so long, then get pretty tired of trying to move them, and then I go, let's go watch TV. Okay. Then my wife. Man, my wife, you know, she's a wonderful lady, and she kind of discovered a little something else for me. And And this is great. This is me using another power to move some things that need to get moved in my life, and it's pretty good. But you know, all the guys in the room right now are going, nah, right? Because how much does this really move? I mean, it's good. It's not my power, so that's a great thing, right? But this is actually kind of limited because I can only get so far with what I'm trying to move, right? And it's only got so much ability, and you know, there's like the Great Wall of China, then there's the leaves in my backyard, and this thing is not moving them, right? And this is kind of like religion, and it's really like when we first come to Jesus. It's great. We find that there's a power to move things, some of these lies, just blow them out of our lives and push them out of our lives. It's really good. But the problem is it only does so much. And here's the real problem. The power source is still a real far away from me. It's like I'm connected to it, but it's certainly not Acts chapter 1, right? Where the power is on me, where it's with me all the time. And I want to encourage you, a lot of us as Christians, we stop here. This is where we stop. Like Jesus from far away, come and give me a little power and push these things. I can't quite push them every place you go, but just kind of get them out of my immediate area. And that's good, but then I got a neighbor who paid a price that I was not willing to pay. I'm really thinking about this moment. And oh man, there's a power that decided to come. Are you ready for this? There's a power that decided to come on me. Come on, work. This is not going to work. Oh, yeah. I'm going to spare all of you the noise pollution. I was going to, like, see who had a wig on and everything, just kind of, like, go through the crowd. But this thing right here, man, I go any place with this guy. Oh, this is all tight. I can go any place with this guy. And I tell you what, this moves all the lies. It moves all the leaves. It's like a tsunami when I'm pushing all the leaves down in the backyard. It blows leaves away, small children. I mean, this thing is awesome. I just walk around, wherever I see something lying around that I don't like, little this. Now, it's interesting because I do have to stand there a while and let it work. I got to put myself where the things need to be pushed away. And Jesus said, I've got a power for you that's going to be on you. Now, obviously, this is limited because the real picture of the power of the Holy Spirit is not a machine. It's the third person of the Trinity. And he's not just hanging on my back. He's in me. He's walking with me. He's part of my thoughts and part of my words. And he's overflowing me. And too often, the church has taught the power of the Holy Spirit as a way to blow people away. But that's not what it's for. It's to blow all the lies away so you can get closer to people, not push them further away. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit's for. It's not to go show them if you're right or you get to be in charge. It's so all these lies that want to fill and to step in and keep hanging around your life, you push them all away. The Holy Spirit drives them out. And a matter of fact, if I'm a vessel and I'm overflowing and I'm in that place of overflowing with the Lord, nothing can get in my vessel, right? Because it's so much is coming out of God, nothing can get in. And this is the picture. When we are called to, in every relationship, say, okay, God, this is hard. Nobody seems to want to change. Here I am. But God, what good, we just sang that song, what good do you want to do? God, how can I plant the right seeds for the future of that person in their life? I'm not going to take control. It's not going to be all about me. But what the Holy Spirit does is what Acts chapter 1, Jesus promised what to his servants? power to push people around, to tell them, no. For everything in here, every lie, every fear, every insecurity, every tendency to move back to self-centeredness and self-pity, for all those to get blown out of our lives. To be totally with a great power, not a small power, with a power that could change us. Jesus said, but you will receive power. And you'll be clothed, it'll be on you when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be like me. In the middle of people who don't have any plan to change. That's what you and I need. And I love what Jesus said, because a lot of times when we hear about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, because it's not of, because Jesus is the one who baptizes, Jesus promised a power, and what he said was, and this is for every person who's ever wanted more of God's presence in their life. It's for every person. Don't leave Jerusalem. Well, I need this. I need God. These people don't want to change, and I don't know what to do, and I'm going to tend to just either play the victim or the villain, or maybe I'll go into hero role to make everybody like me more in the middle of all this. And Jesus said, no, just don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Did you know in the four Gospels, there's only five stories or sayings that are mentioned in every one of the Gospels? The birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, five loaves and two fish, and the fact that Jesus was coming to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. That's it. Those are the only five stories or sayings that are in every one of the Gospels. And out of those five, only the truth that we are to be, that Jesus has come to baptize in us in the Holy Spirit, is in the book of Acts. Now, I want you to hear this. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins, but he came to do a lot more than that. He didn't come just to clean us out and leave us empty. He came for us to be filled with a new spirit, to not just know the things Jesus does, but to have the power to do them in the midst of relationships that seem impossible. And yesterday, I was in Saturday prayer, I was right down here, and my face was on the floor. I was laid out because I'm praying for my five relationships, and I don't know about you, but some are like, God, I don't know what to do next for them. Do not leave Jerusalem. What was Jerusalem? Well, to a God-fearing Jew, Jerusalem was what? The center of worship, the place of obedience, and let's not forget the place of the cross. And we're going to, in a moment, I'll invite Pastor Brian if he's here. In a moment, we're going to do worship. And here's what I want you to do. Jesus was looking at a group of people who needed more power. And he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave the place of worship until you have what I've asked you to have, what I've died to give you. Don't leave that place of worship. In a moment, we're going to worship for a few minutes. We're going to invite the Spirit of the living God to come and be in us. And I want to encourage you in that place, regardless of your personality, open up your mouth and give your words and speak the truth about who you are in God, about what you want from Him. And give Him the very words of your mouth and the thoughts of your mind and say, God, I need your power to love this person the right way. I don't know, God, it's up to you, the times and the dates of when things change and what they look like, but God, I want to be faithful. I don't want joy and peace to be stolen from my life. God, help me. To the God-fearing Jew, they were commanded three times a year to show up at Jerusalem. It was a place of obedience. If we want the power of God to come in some fresh ways in our life, there's a few places we've got to repent of and get straight with God. Because I can't say I love the Holy Spirit, I want to be with him, but then I do things that drive him away. And it's not that he's not interested in condemning us. Jesus is taking care of the issue of forgiveness, but he is convicting us. Holy Spirit's saying, hey, I'd like to hang out with you more, but I ain't going there with you. And there's just a few things you and I need to get straight with the Lord today, and we always have to. We always have to have a new spot of saying, God, forgive me for not being obedient. And then the place of the cross, because Jesus made it pretty clear that you're going to have to deny yourself. And instead of asking God to remove the cross from you, sometimes you just got to decide to pick it up with both hands and say, Jesus, I want to walk this out the way you walked it out. And I'm telling you what, there was never a greater moment of Jesus being Spirit-filled than when he walked all the way to the cross. And I want to encourage you today, worship, obedience, mostly in repentance, and then the call to say, Jesus, I don't think I want to apologize because I'm pretty sure they've got six things they should apologize to me about, but I'll do it. God, I feel like they should call next. I've reached out a lot of times. They haven't reached out at all. Well, maybe this time you just pick up your cross. Say, no, I think I'm this servant. I'm this empowered servant that has good to do in the middle of a hard situation. I got some seeds to plant. I don't even know if I'll ever enjoy the crop of it, but someone will. And most of all, maybe he will. Maybe God will get the glory. So if you're the person who's got all those relationships and you've been doing this to keep the lies and the habits and the responses at bay, it's time to say there's something a lot more to be a part of. And so I'm going to invite our elders to come forward and their spouses if they would, others who are part of our prayer ministry at front. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to worship. And my prayer is this morning, instead of just knowing the right things to do, that you will sense the power of living God come upon you, not to blow people away and push them away, but to get all the lies out of you. And just invite God to have his way. So would you stand? I don't know if it's the three relationships you've been praying for. I don't know if it's just the way you're struggling at work to show up every day, but there's no sense of power and freshness of what God wants to do in your life. But I want to encourage you in these next few moments, we're going to begin to invite the Spirit of the living God. Because I want you to hear this. The disciples heard what Jesus said, and then they got in an upper room, and then they prayed. And they kept praying until what was promised was theirs. I just want to finish with this passage in Luke, because most of us are familiar with the call of Luke 11. We're going to, at the end of service, say the Lord's Prayer together. Pastor Brian will lead us at the end, most likely. And did you know that after Jesus taught to pray the Lord's Prayer, then he talked about the Holy Spirit and the prayers that we would pray that would not be on script? Because Jesus, after he taught the Lord's Prayer, said this. He said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, prone to selfishness, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Lord, we ask now. We want to come to that place, that Jerusalem-type place of worship, of repentance, and of obedience, to lay down our lives. We're asking as we worship that you would make this place an upper room. a place where your Holy Spirit would fall, and we would become your witnesses to people who never planned to change. And as we do that, you would receive all the glory, all of the praise, and our joy would be yours. I pray that there would not be a spirit of fear in this place, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, a spirit of a sound mind. Would you take a moment before we begin worship? Would you begin to turn your full attention, your heart, your soul to the Lord and ask for more today? Would you give him those relationships? Lord, I need a full, fresh filling, a fresh baptism of your Spirit. Praise your name, dear God. As we begin to worship, as the Lord leads you, these are here to join you for a prayer need or to pray for a fresh baptism in the Spirit. Let's let God lead us in these moments.